Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny, licensed psychotherapist, soul retrieval shamanic healer, and heart conscious practitioner. Let's get started. Episode of the Third Realm Integration Podcast. I am excited to be here tonight as I jump back on the mic and share my thoughts about some topics related to spiritual healing, depth psychology, transpersonal psychology, you name it, we're going deep. And today, what I wanted to do is actually break down one of the archetypes that not only I see frequently in my work, that I am most familiar with in my personal life, but an archetype that is fundamental to who we are as human beings. And first, let me just introduce the term archetype and break that down a little bit. In the Western world, when we work with Western archetypes, because there are all kinds of archetypes, in the Western world, what we're talking about are personified patterns. All they are is patterns, meaning that they are familiar to us. We know what they are. We know that when I say mother, you have a specific idea that comes to mind. So it's a repeating cycle that we personify, that we place human characteristics on. So the victim, the rescuer, the saboteur, the wounded child, the prostitute, the martyr, the alchemist, the addict. When I say all of those archetypes, you have images and ideas that come to mind. Because you know, oh, well, an addict does this. That's how I know what an addict is. Well, a martyr does this. That's how I know what a martyr is. And so you know what it is because it's been done over and over. You know that there's a consistency to it. You know that it doesn't change. There's a set definition for how that pattern gets expressed. And we see it in mythology as characters. We see it in movies. And we see it in our own lives. We are living our archetypes. And the reason why archetypes are spoken about so frequently in the world of spiritual healing is because archetypes live in the space called the collective unconscious. That is the ocean that we get access to when we dig deep through meditation, psychedelics, breath work, shifting consciousness, expanding consciousness as we dive deep into the pool of the one mind, the collective mind that as soon as we bypass the ego and all of the other aspects that get in the way, we get access to this pool of ancient ancestral information. If you've heard of Akashic Records, if you've heard of the higher soul, the collective, Dolores Cannon calls it the subconscious, what we're doing is we're getting access to the highest version of ourselves that is connected to everybody else. It's a oneness. It's past duality, and now we're into non-duality. And it's where memories live. It's where patterns live. It's where higher wisdom lives. It's where ancient wisdom lives. That's where archetypes live. So when archetypes get expressed in our lives, what's happening is we are unconscious. Is the unconscious part of ourselves is driving the boat to express those. And they show up as experiences, events, behaviors, or people that we encounter in our lives. And when we become more conscious of the archetypes, what we're doing is we're now expanding our consciousness. We're bringing something into conscious awareness that would otherwise remain unknown to us. We're increasing and expanding our awareness. And then we get to analyze something that is otherwise unseen. And then we get to dissect it we get to bring it into conscious awareness. So we're transmuting it. We're being the alchemist in that moment. We're taking a dense shadow, dark matter, and we're transforming it into a lighter frequency by doing the work and becoming aware of it and then pulling it in, taking the lesson, moving that through the body by actually living it. And then we do healing through that. What we are doing, all archetypes are also, are just projections. When we call God a man in the sky, that's a projection. That's our image. That's what we place on this idea of God, which is not true. God is just a frequency of vibration. But we have to, you know, in this world, put a label on it and a person's identity onto it so it makes sense to us. And that's where you get so many different experiences through that. So many different examples of archetypes that get projected out from our own mind. And so what we're doing when we begin the healing process is we are withdrawing the projection. We are taking it as a disembodied piece of us, and we are seeing it, acknowledging it, connecting into it, pulling it back in, analyzing, unpacking, learning from, and then integrating. So now we're no longer owned by the pattern. We are the one expressing the pattern and influencing it to move towards its highest potential, because every archetype has a higher vibrational expression and a lower vibrational expression. What we're trying to do is pull up that lower piece and trying to transmute it and express it through the higher piece. And we all have different archetypes that are part of our DNA. There are four primary archetypes that are the survival archetypes that we all have a relationship with: the victim, the prostitute, the child, and what's the other one? I forget. Oh, the saboteur. And then there are millions of others that we have a relationship with. And they're not always people. Like I said, that's just the Western experience. You go with something like the quantum archetypes and you're talking about lovability, emotional wisdom, power, agency over your own life. Basically, everything's an archetype. If I say a word and you know the definition of it, you know the definition of it because that's the word and it's been used that way over and over. That's a pattern right there. It's an archetype. So what I wanted to do is break down specifically today the addict archetype, because it's one that I actually think should be included in the core four. I think we should add one and make it a five. A core survival archetype that we all have as human beings. Now, when I say addict, if you are an addict or have been addicted to something, you know instantly what I'm talking about. There's a craving for something to have, and there's an experience of powerlessness in relationship to the drug behavior or pattern that you are addicted to. And so what happens is you actually end up slipping into the prostitute archetype when you are active in the addict archetype, because you are sacrificing some part of your higher self in order to exchange, to create the exchange for whatever the good is, whatever you're addicted to, whatever you're powerless to. Now, sacrifice is actually how you transform, but you have to do it in the way that doesn't fall into this particular toxic pattern. Sacrifice, in the way that I talk about it, is the ego has to sacrifice parts of itself as it surrenders in service to the higher soul. The ego must make a sacrifice to serve the self with a capital S. That's when sacrifice is a part of healing. This type of sacrifice is you're actually abandoning yourself, because your mind and your heart are in conflict. Your mind says, oh, we have to go do this thing, but the heart says, I feel like that's probably a bad idea, or vice versa. And you have now lost the authority and the agency over your own life. And how interesting is it that most people that develop a pattern of addiction have a really tense relationship with authority? And when they have a tense and conflictual and resistant relationship with authority, they end up having a really difficult time listening to the authority of their own intuition. And when you disregard the intuition of the heart's wisdom that tells you that if you pick up that drug, if you engage in that behavior, you know it's toxic and it's a pattern of negativity, and you choose the mind or vice versa, maybe there's a part of your gut, you have a visceral craving for a drug and your mind is saying, don't do it. And when that's in conflict and you can't resolve it, you're in an active process of abandoning yourself, and you're not serving your inner authority that's telling you don't do it, your higher self that knows better. And so how interesting is that? That our biggest fear, the thing that we are in most resistance with, in this example, it's authority, we end up not even being able to listen to our own inner authority. And that resistance creates a trauma pattern where we have now become our own perpetrator. Every time our heart tells us to do something and we choose not to do it and listen to the mind, we are actively abandoning ourselves. And most people that have a pattern of addiction have a fear of abandonment. So they have a fear of abandonment, and now they're abandoning themselves. So they just dig that wound deeper and deeper. What has to happen is that your heart and your mind have to come into alignment. They can't stay separate. Because as long as the heart and the mind are fighting with each other, the choice, which is in the middle, gets expressed through picking up the toxic pattern and the toxic habit. While my mind and my heart are fighting, I'm just going to go over here and do this and just, you know, take a little of this, do a little of that. While you guys are fighting, while mom and dad are fighting, the kid's just going to go do whatever. And that's what it's like. So in order to heal from addiction and to really express the highest side of the addict archetype, which we all come in with as human beings, you have to resolve that conflict and you have to get into alignment. I just had this conversation recently with somebody, and I actually brought it back to what we talk about in motivational interviewing, about which is an evidence-based type of therapy specific to treating the ambivalence that people have in early, I wouldn't even say recovery, active use. It's like, well, I know I need to stop and there's a part of me that wants to stop, but like, I don't really think I'm ready to do that right now. And they're caught in this state of ambivalence. If they can move forward with actions that are based on their values and bring that into alignment, they can begin the healing process. But if they have a value to be honest, for example, and all they do is lie every time they engage in the substance or the behavior, that's the conflict that I'm talking about here. And in motivational interviewing, it's all about values-based action in order to bring this into alignment, what I'm talking about. And what happens is a lot of times people will come to me and they'll say, well, okay, so what's the main issue you're struggling with? Well, I have a lack of motivation and I procrastinate a lot. And I really can't get anything done. Well, they're engaged in some type of addict archetype. They're either addicted to suffering, their own suffering. Maybe they're addicted to being the victim. Maybe they're addicted to complaining. Or they're addicted to their parents' chaos. Or they're addicted to whatever. And so as a result, when that fighting is going on from the mind to the heart, you lose motivation. The choice gets stalled because it's like, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll deal with that later. And there's no movement. There's no flow. It's interesting because in the Heart Math book, it actually gives specific examples of when you make statements like you're driving in your car and somebody cuts you off. The reactions that you can have that are from the mind versus from the heart are very different. And if you shift how your mind responds and make it so it's your heart responding, it's a big, huge, huge, it's even different in the words that you'll use. It's like I said in the last podcast, on the Matthew McConaughey motivational kind of day that they had there, one of the people talking, she was a therapist, and she said how she has changed her language from I can't to I won't. It's not that I can't do this because I'm so overwhelmed. No, it's I don't do overwhelmed anymore. And so if you can even just step into that power you're actually putting out thoughts with a different vibration out into the archetypal field that's going to bounce back a different experience for you. And where the addiction gets sustained is through this separation between the mind and the heart. That conflict allows the addiction to continue. And as a result, the illusion stays and you're now attached to something in the outside world through the craving. Oh, I'm going to reach for this drug. I'm going to reach for this thing. I'm going to reach for this coping skill, and that's going to make me satisfied. And that's a temporary relief that creates distraction and maintains the disconnection. And you're now fueling your own toxic pattern. And here's the main piece. Here's why all this is happening. Why do people fall into these patterns? And by the way, I just want to highlight again, I'm not just talking about people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and sex and food and gambling. I'm talking about all of you guys out there that are addicted to your suffering or somebody else's suffering or addicted to whatever. Manipulation, chaos, resisting authority. It's because there is a deep, deep, deep wounded fear about owning your own power and responsibility. When the call of the hero in the heroine's journey is made and your phone is ringing, you either don't pick up the phone call at all, or you pick it up and you hang it up and you don't answer the call of whatever your higher soul is asking you to do. You disregard it because there's some deep fear that if you actually own your power and your responsibility, it means you actually have to show up for life. And people are petrified of that. It's why people sometimes don't heal. People are afraid to heal because it's too much. It's too much work. And so, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a joke. And some people, you know, might get a little offended by this. But it's the Peter Pan syndrome also. It's like fear of growing up. So there's an attachment to something, maybe something in childhood, maybe something from the past, that prevents the person from being able to step into their full power and express it and actually use it to their advantage and not be overwhelmed by it. Some people are just completely overwhelmed by the idea of taking full responsibility for their own lives. That's how people get stuck in the blame and complain victim consciousness. As long as I can blame everybody else, I never have to show up to the plate. And I never have to take the power back. So I don't have to step up to that job. And we know people like this, there's nothing wrong with like somebody that just wants to go to work and just be a worker and not the boss, not the manager. I don't want all that responsibility. I've done that before where I don't want certain levels of responsibility. But it's about owning that choice and expressing it through your heart's wisdom as opposed to a wounded part of the ego. Saying no to that because you just don't want to do it or because it doesn't serve your highest good. And then being able to express really your full potential and power and take full responsibility somewhere else in your life. So the addict archetype is powerful because we all have it. And even the higher side, the higher vibrational expression of the archetype itself can sometimes show up as the yearning and the craving to heal and find enlightenment. There's even a craving for that. There's also a craving for power. It's huge. That's a huge one. Power is the biggest drug of them all. So I just wanted to jump on here and break that one down because I think that one sort of just runs deep for a lot of people. And if you find yourself losing motivation, procrastinating, not being able to find a flow, not being able to get out of your own way, and constantly in a pattern of saying like, what the hell am I doing with my life? And like, just feels like I'm in this like hamster wheel and nothing's changing. It's because you're out of alignment and you're moving at the speed of matter, which is horizontal, and you need to shift and move at the speed of light, which is vertical. Vertical alignment of the chakras, and now all of a sudden time really doesn't matter. Everything just speeds right up, and you're just flowing through life. And you got to show up. It's like being on the back of a horse. You got all this power beneath you. What are you going to do? Not grab the reins? No, you're going to have to grab the reins because there is no other choice. Otherwise, you could hurt yourself. You could get bucked right off and fallen and really hurt yourself. Or you'd just be scared as hell. You got to grab the reins. Period. Point blank. End of story. And we have a lot of people in the society that fall into the dependency pattern of not wanting to show up to life and wanting everybody else to take care of it. And unfortunately, that dependency pattern is such a major piece of our collective consciousness, which is why Big Pharma is as powerful as it is. It's why everybody seems to be on prescription pills. We have a massive, massive fentanyl and xylazine crisis going on because nobody wants to show up for life. And I totally get it because there's a lot that needs to be done in order to show up for life. But if you let go of time and you just move slowly and just stay in the present moment and recognize the only time that matters is right here and right now, that all the pieces will get put into place to get you to where you want to be. But the idea that we are the master of our own destiny is sometimes petrifying to people. I've actually said this to clients before and had this conversation, and I've had people be like, oh my God, wait a second. Especially when I talk about multiple lifetimes and reincarnation, and they're like, it doesn't just end after this. Like, I gotta, like, there's more. Like, all of what I'm doing right here, right now actually matters towards what might happen next. It's like, yep. It is. It's just as much as life is a play, and it's not even that big of a deal. It's also kind of a big deal. Like, it's kind of a big deal. Like, it's kind of a big job. And remember, as I said in the last episode, you chose it. You chose the whole thing. You orchestrated the whole play of your life before you decided to incarnate into this body. And you chose all the struggles, all the suffering, all the people, all the events, experiences, and all the joy. You did it. You chose your parents. You chose all the contracts that you signed with all the people that were going to show up in your life to teach you a lesson. And life becomes so much easier, and it moves at this speed of light through this flow when you come into alignment. There's no more struggle. You let go of the struggle, and everything becomes doable. So I'm going to leave it there. Be sure to visit the website, thirdrealmintegration.com, if you want to learn more about my services. Subscribe to the newsletter so you can stay up to date about what states I'm going to be able to take insurance in the upcoming year. And don't forget to visit the Etsy shop to get all of your tarot and astrology things and needs met. Another thing too is I'm playing around with this live stream link, and I just tested it on Podbean. So if you go on my Instagram page, there's a link, and I'm going to be doing it, I think Fridays at 7 o'clock, I think is what I have it set for. So if you click on that link and you jump into the live feed room, you can ask questions. And I don't know, the sound quality was pretty bad, so I don't think I'm going to keep it on Podbean. I might switch over to YouTube. So anyway, stay posted for that, because I actually like the live stream idea where people can jump in the chat, leave questions, or call in. So I think that's it. Again, another mission accomplished for today's episode. Stay tuned for the next one. And may the light always lead your way. Be well, everybody. The Third Realm Integration Podcast and related content is intended to provide information and/or entertainment only and is not a substitute for mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not delay mental health or medical consultation or substitute a mental health or medical professional's opinion because of what you heard on this show. Seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a mental health or medical condition. The host of this podcast does not provide emergency support for mental health or medical issues. For questions or concerns, visit your local emergency room or contact your doctor. Okay, yes, no. This one, though, really is the best quote of all time. Knowledge isn't free. You have to pay attention. Richard Feynman. Richard P. Feynman. That's it, everybody. Wrap it up. Here we go. Let's go.